This week's message is titled, I'm not religious, but I am spiritual. The reading is Matthew 6, 9-13. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, whoever put that video together is really amazing, and it fits in so well to what I want to talk about today. We're made up of the physical. We're also made up of the spiritual. Have you ever heard someone say, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual? One of the questions that I would ask when someone says this, and I hear this often, people I visit are people coming into my office and we get talking about faith and so forth. And the first thing they want to say is, I'm not religious. That's the first thing they say. Hi, Don, I'm not religious. Because they know they're in the office of a minister. Hi, Don, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And so I guess as the years have gone by, instead of just kind of placating that and going, oh, well, that's good, I asked them, well, what exactly do you mean? I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. And many times people will say, well, I know there's something out there. And I just kind of leave it like that. Well, throughout the Bible, there are times when church and just regular everyday people had to find out themselves about their own relationship. When the church first started, it was brand new. And they just kind of had to find their way. As Christians, I would think that what we would want to say as Christians is that our spirituality is defined. To be a Christian is to live in Jesus and live with Jesus. He first defined it when he said to us, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I knew you before you were knit together in your mother's womb. You have always been on my mind. That these are comments that say we belong to God. We live in Christ and we live with Christ. But for many, many years, there were these philosophers like Plato. And Plato started something that was called, and even back then he didn't call it, but later it became this, a philosophy called Gnosticism, having a special knowledge that the only thing that really counts is the spirit, your own spirit. Matter doesn't matter. The physical doesn't matter. What you do with your body doesn't matter. That only God is concerned with the spiritual. Well, the scripture makes it very, very clear that that's not the case. It's not a platonic life of the physical doesn't matter, that our physical bodies are of no interest to God. And this is where we start to make our jokes. Well, I'm sure God's not very happy with the way, and on and on and on. But it's the reality of there is so much of us that we don't think of very often. We think of our physical body because sometimes it hurts. So we know it's right there. We don't maybe sometimes think about our emotional side or maybe our intellectual side or maybe even our spiritual side. But the point being that as Christians, God is interested in all of this. And so Plato said it doesn't make any difference what you do with your body. It doesn't make any difference with the physical. Someday we're just going to be spiritual beings and we'll just kind of be floating around. But if you were to ask for more detail, there would never be any more detail because no one's ever experienced something that the world seems to be thinking about more and more today. There's a spiritual side. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Well, please define that for me. And it's difficult to define. So I want to try and define this morning. How we treat our body matters to God. Jesus came into the world, as we all know, not as some kind of ghost, not as some kind of spiritual being where he would show up physically and then disappear. No, no, he was born in a physical body. He lived in a physical body. He died in a physical body. He was buried in a body. He was raised from the tomb in a body. He was resurrected in a body, and he'll return in a body, Acts chapter 1. So Plato would say, God's not interested in the physical body. And Jesus would say, and Paul would say, and John would say, and Peter would say, where in the world did you ever get that idea from? Where did you ever get that idea from? It's not found in Scripture. So I think it's interesting the phrase, I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual, needs to be defined. What is the definition of being spiritual? Living in Christ. And we'll talk about this morning, because how we treat our body matters to God, and how we treat one another matters to God. How we treat our earth matters to God. And what God said to Adam and Eve, here is your earth garden. Please take care of it. He says exactly to us, here is your world. Please take care of it. Please take care of it. Take care of your body. Take care of the world. Take care of one another. One of the great parts of the Lord's Prayer is, may your, say it with me, may your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. There's this symbiotic relationship that's taking place. So I want to just spend a little bit of time talking about something that happened in the church after it first started. And Peter's making it clear that righteousness can dwell on the earth and not just in heaven. He talks a little bit about the past, the present, and the future. But in 2 Peter 3, 8 through 13 is a magnificent and an amazing passage of Scripture. Here's what Peter says. Do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you. And I think we have to read that over and over again. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance, to have this relationship. Start over again. Rethink everything. That's a great definition for repentance. Repentance isn't just, I'm sorry. It is that, but it's also this. Stop. I'm repenting. I need to rethink why I said what I just said, why I did what I just did. That's repentance. Rethink, reexamine. And so he talks about this. Come to this repentance. Rethink this. Plato, rethink your idea that only the spiritual matters and the physical doesn't. Think about this again. So he says, the day of the Lord comes like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That one day, all things will be made right the way it was intended to be. That day will bring about the destructions of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt with the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and earth where righteousness dwells. In other words, back to the Garden of Eden, here is your world. Take care of it, that one day God will renew all things and the earth and heaven become one. And once again, the recommendation for God is take care of that. Until all of that happens, take care of it. And when it does happen, Take care of it. It's this absolute mandate from God that religion needs to be defined. I'm not religious, but I'm spiritual. Well, what does that mean? It's the combination of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit living in us as we live out our relationship with God, and we prove that by how we treat one another and the world around us. It's called righteousness, putting things to rights, what God has always wanted us to be and the world to be. And so this concept was kind of new when the church first started. And just think with me, and I know I'm not going to share with you anything that you don't already know. The church begins, 3,000 people are baptized, it flourishes, problems begin to arise because it's so growing, so many people. And all of a sudden, what begins to happen is, and this was the first problem that the church faced because of Hebrew Christian and Gentile Christians, cultural differences. And cultural differences were significant. For many, 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 many years, the Hebrew Christians and the Gentile Christians didn't really associate with one another, didn't really eat with one another, didn't really spend much time conversing with one another. How'd you like to belong to a church like that? It just was contentious all the time because of how both cultures lived. And it can happen today, the dynamic crashing of cultures, a little bit off topic, but I think, I could be wrong, I think that one of the big cultural challenges that any of us who are married faced was coming together as husband and wife and realizing separate cultures. Meaning, well, all my life we ate at 6 o'clock. Well, all my life we ate it at 7 o'clock, and that's the way it's going to be. Just the significant cultures. Here's what books I like to read. You like to read those kind of things? And just the whole idea of coming together as husband and wife, and how is this going to work? Now, put that together of a church of 100 people with all individualities, all personalities coming together with various cultures, and how does that work? Well, put together the culture of Jewish Christians and Gentile Christians where there were significant differences, not just what type of food they would eat, what kind of ceremonies they would follow, and it was a big problem. It was a big problem. And so you read the book of Acts and a few other passages where that was significant. The second thing that the church had to deal with was huge as well. Huge theological differences. We are saved by God's commandments and God's ceremonies and God's feasts and all of these things. Yes, we're saved in Christ, but we must keep all of these things. We're saved by what we do. Where many of our Gentile Christians came along and said, I don't want any of that. I became a Christian because of Christ. I'm not a Hebrew Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm not going to follow all these ceremonial laws. I'm saved by God's grace. He lived for me. He gave his life for me. He died for me. He rose again. He's coming back. I live for him. I'm not interested in all of these theological differences. Am I saved by God's grace or aren't I? And many of our Hebrew Christians say, yes, you're saved by grace, but you have to keep all these laws too. And that was challenging. I think it could be challenging in the church today. But then the third ism that was significant in the church is not mentioned. The word is never there. It's called Gnosticism, which basically says, as Plato said, the physical doesn't matter. It's only the spiritual. So that when you die, you're going to be floating around as a spirit and you're going to be with God and you're going to, I don't know, as a kid, I always thought sitting in a cloud playing a violin does not seem interesting to me. And it was this concept of escapism. When all along, even from the beginning, when Jesus taught us to pray, may your will be done on earth that one day will be changed. So Gnosticism was this brand new thinking that started to grab the church. All of John, especially 1 John, talks about this. Colossians talk about this. Peter talks about this. And it's the philosophy of only the spiritual counts, our bodies and what we do and how we treat the physical. It doesn't make any difference, but it does make a difference to God. To hear Plato say, God is not interested in anything physical. It's just the spiritual. It's just your feelings. Jesus, Paul, John, and Peter would say, and Isaiah, it makes a huge difference. The physical and the spiritual matter to God. The physical can often demonstrate the spiritual. Sometimes, if we're feeling poorly physically, it can affect us spiritually. And sometimes, if we neglect the spiritual, forget about prayer, forget about praise, forget about scripture, forget about growing in our faith, it can affect us spiritually, physically, connecting. When our spiritual isn't strong, the physical can become weak because we're not intact. We're not the way God made us to be. There is the intellectual, there is the emotional, but there's the physical and the spiritual. And the spiritual often demonstrates the physical. Sometimes we may have found ourselves just at odds with ourselves and can't really figure out why. Donnie, what's wrong? Nothing. Well, you're just not the same. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, it just kind of clicks. You know, I really haven't spent any time talking to God. I mean, I read about him. I'm reading the scriptures. But I really haven't spent much time one-on-one, just hanging out with God. I don't mean that to sound irreverent, but I think it's unique. And here's why I think it's unique. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19, do you not know that your bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You're bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? We've read these passages many times, but a bomb went off in my head and in my heart this past week. And I just had to shut the lights off in my office, close the drapes, and just say, I'm so sorry. Here's why. Don't you know that your body is a temple of God's Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? Sometimes we invite guests into our home, and oftentimes it's lovely. God says the Holy Spirit is a guest who lives in you. It's amazing to me. Do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Holy Spirit dwells in your midst? Can we welcome the Holy Spirit who is with us here today? I don't know if we ever think of that. We walk through the doors, we come into the church building, and I know the church is wherever we go, but we're walking into the presence of God, the presence of Jesus, and God's Holy Spirit, who is here and with us. And there are some people who are so spiritual that they often get this. They have a gift of spirituality. I think I've shared with you this story before, but a number of years ago when Lynn Anderson, great friend, great man, came and did a series on the Psalms here. I remember as we were driving into Beamsville, I probably shared this story with you. It was just the timing of God was so profound. Lynn was saying, I wonder how many people will come because I have a reputation sometimes of being a little bit too liberal, so I'm not so sure. I've had some letters from different people in the area of the churches. I'm not sure if I'm going to be really welcome. And basically, just as he was saying that, there was a rainbow right across the sky as we were getting off of the ramp onto Ontario Street in Beamsville. I said, look at that, Lynn. Look at that rainbow. Does that say anything to you about how people welcome you? And that evening, as we gathered, again, this is the exception, not the rule, at least in my case. So when Lynn came and people were all gathering in, Barbie was at the back of the building, and she never says things like this very often, but on occasion she does, and I just go, wow, God has given you an amazing gift. And I've never had that experience, but she had it. But that evening, as Lynn was speaking, she said, as I was looking at Lynn, I saw angels everywhere surrounding him and surrounding the pulpit. Now, I don't know what that says to you. Some people might say, well, you're just trying to be emotional. I'm just speaking the truth. I'm just telling you what she experienced. And she doesn't say these things very often, but it was a profound experience. So profound that it's always there as we remember it. But do we remember that the Holy Spirit of God chooses to live in each one of us? There is more to us than us. There's more than the physical. There's more than just our own spiritual and intellectual and emotional, but it's the presence of God who lives in us. And remember the great command that Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. It's my contention that I baptized a significant number of people in that baptistry and other baptistries, that even though the holy presence of God's Spirit has been with people, that when they're baptized into Christ, there is a special impartation of the Holy Spirit who lives and dwells with us and in us forever, forever. Have we invited the person who was in this place even before we got here today and is still here, the Holy Spirit of God? See, Plato was right in the sense of that we are spiritual, but he was wrong in saying that the physical doesn't matter. How important is the world? It's significantly important, not just the emotion of the world, but the physical part of the world. Have you ever thought of this in John 3:16? For God so loved the world. Have we ever thought of that meaning the planet, the earth? That God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, not floating around in a cloud, but a physical body that will last forever. 1 John 2:2, that Jesus is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Can we use the word planet in there as well? May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as I wrap this up, think with me for just a moment. When God created Adam, the male of the earth, and Eve, the female of the earth, he said to them, take care of my garden, the earth. And so God says to us men, the Adam of the world, and says to women, the Eve of the world, the same thing he said to Adam and Eve. Take care of my earth. Take care of my children. Take care of yourself. Take care of this planet. Jesus had a physical body. He died in a physical body. He was raised in a physical body. He left the earth in a physical body and will return once again in a physical body. The Gnostics will never accept that. But we do. And maybe one of the reasons why Paul waited at the end of his letter, to his first letter that he wrote to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 15, was that he would emphasize, after everything he said, he would emphasize. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of this gospel which I preach to you, which you have believed, on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel, you're saved. If you hold firmly to those things that I preached to you, otherwise you believed in vain. For what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you as first importance, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day, appearing to many according to the scriptures. There was a reason for that. There was a reason for his physical body. And then at the end of that letter in 1 Corinthians, he says this, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." What difference would it make if our reality is simply a spirit floating around somewhere, having no connection really to anything or anyone? But the gospel is flesh and blood. Yes, it's spiritual. Yes, it's emotional. Yes, it's intellectual. But it's also so very, very physical. May God's will be done. May we always welcome God's Holy Spirit. He talks to us individually about God's Spirit living in us, but he also talks about that when we come together as a family of God, God's Spirit dwells among us. Can we welcome God's Spirit who is here with us today? Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.